Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show.
Great to have you with us on the show today.
How's it going, Steve?
Matt doing well. So what did Little League say?
Well, unfortunately, I have the audio here from President and CEO Steve Keener. This year's Little League World Series has been canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. President and CEO Steve Keener just announced on the Little League Facebook page.
Well, nobody's playing. I mean, no offense, it's kind of an obvious thing to have happen. Now, I don't know if that means that local Little Leagues, for example, did he tell local Little Leagues they can't play?
He did mention later in his press conference, local Little Leagues can restart as they're allowed in their states and countries, and then they can eventually, if time allows, have a district all-star tournament. And even do sectional and state tournaments, depending on if it's safe and if time allows. So they can resume the regular season or start it, but they just have to wait.
Yeah, nobody has started it. But, I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, my grandson here, they have not canceled the season. Never have. Now, they've been holding out some sort of hope that maybe later on, if things loosen up, they can play a few games. But when it comes to the Little League World Series, boy, that would be too tough to do. You know, you're talking about, you know, it's worldwide. The problem is the pandemic is worldwide. You think about the various teams that have come here before. I mean, right now there's a travel ban. So, in other words, I mean, at this hour, the European champion could not travel over. At this time, the Far East champion could not travel. I mean, for them, it just, I mean, they really were in a bad spot.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Keener even said it would be virtually impossible because of all the travel restrictions and after consulting with health and government officials and states and federally
Let's make it simple. The Canadian champion goes every year. Right now, you can't. There's a travel ban with Canada.
And Mexico.
I'm just saying, but I mean Canada.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, Mexico we already know. But like a lot of people don't realize that believe it or not, that's an issue with the NHL right now.
Yeah, exactly
that's,
right.
I mean, that's actually going to have to change with the NHL for them to get going. And so for Little League, there's just too many issues. But next year, 2021, Little League Baseball will be bigger, better. The Little League World Series, I mean, I think the attendance for it will be incredible next year because people will be aching for that stuff. They'll be aching for it. You know, I'm sorry it has to happen, but it was one of those where I think that it became pretty obvious a few weeks ago that the Little League part, just because of the international component of it, it's too tough. Now, I'm glad that they didn't look at leagues, because, look, different places. You're going to tell me they can't play Little League baseball in Nebraska right now? I mean, I think that something that is important to remember with this is that, yes, we're all in it together, but one size doesn't fit all. This is a huge country. It's a huge country. So one size, I mean, just because Southern New York is just ravaged with this, and Northern New Jersey is ravaged with this, and they are. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at that. Okay? But that doesn't mean North Platte, Nebraska is. Look at our own state. Philadelphia has, unfortunately, tremendously struggled. Montgomery County, Delaware County, they've really struggled. But Elk County has two cases. And they've had two cases for weeks. Weeks. There's been no change in Elk County, which is up where St. Mary's is. Well, why should Elk County be put in the same category as Montgomery County? I mean, common sense tells you. And that's the same thing when it comes. That's why I'm glad that's why I asked about local Little Leagues. The Little League baseball team in Laramie, Wyoming, or the Little League organizations in Laramie, Wyoming, as opposed to New Rochelle, New York, they're in different situations. And you have to be able to realize that there's different situations in different states. I mean, let's face it, unfortunately, the vast majority of cases in this country are confined to a couple areas. And again, I'm taking that from just having the ability to read a map. You have the ability to read a map, you can make statements like that. And the same thing in this state. For example, why would and that's why I think what Little League did was really smart today. So I just wanted to make sure we pointed that out. Brett McMurphy today, 3:35. Sal Palantonio, 4:06. John Scott, 4:35. Monday, Mike Gross. We've never had Mike on the show. And I have great respect for Mike. He does a great job. We've never had him on the show. I know he's a buddy of yours.
He is. From my Lebanon days, we covered many games together, high school-wise, and saw him on the Penn State beat every once in a while.
Oh, I think he's a terrific reporter. Terrific reporter. But, yeah, I mean, you see where I'm coming from. I mean, one size, I mean, even in our own state. We're going to get a slow opening so that we can be smart about it. And Center County is in with the Valley in terms of the ability to open, what, May 8th? Does that sound right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the governor and Dr. Levine are going to have officially more details for North Central PA and Northwest PA to move from red to yellow tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because I know in this area here, I know Blair County and Bedford County in Huntington County, I believe, and maybe Mifflin County, have asked, like, hey, look, we're lumped in with Harrisburg. Because I guess, well, how many regions do we have in the state that Dr. Levine said 8? Does that sound right?
I think so, yeah. I have to double-check the Department of Health map we got.
Well, it turns out that Center County is on the border with, obviously, Blair County, Huntington County, and Mifflin County. But they're not in the same region, but Center County is on the faster track to open sooner. So I guess the county commissioners in some of these other counties have said, hey, look, you know, I know you have us in with Dauphin County and so forth, but we don't have the issues that Dauphin County has. I mean, this is what I'm telling you that the county commissioners are saying to the governor. And I think that I sense that the governor is listening to that.
Yeah, there's 6 regions, actually.
6? Okay.
And you're right. Blair and Huntington and Mifflin and Juniata, actually, are all with Harrisburg in the south central portion of the map here, yeah, that I have for the Department of Health.
Yeah.
But north central is, you mentioned Center, all 4 Valley counties, 5 of you include Columbia.
Yep.
And then it's like,
yep,
Combing, Sullivan, Bradford, Tioga, Potter, and Clinton.
Okay. And see, the numbers in, because, I mean, obviously here, you don't get that there, because obviously on TV, it's WTAJ-TV and WJAC-TV in Altoona and Johnstown, respectively. They put out the local numbers every night. You know, how many cases are, that's why I know Elk County's had 2 for weeks and weeks and weeks. Okay, that's why you're like, oh, well, again, one size doesn't fit all, even in the same state. And the, so that's why I see the numbers. And so I see the numbers with Blair County and Huntington and, you know, and so forth have. You're like, okay, they're really actually very low and very stable. And have been very low and very stable the entire time. So I can understand why the county commissioners have asked the governor about that. Now, if you're living in... I was talking to somebody on a Zoom chat the day of the Blue-White game. Because I was in on 2 different Zoom chats, you know, during the virtual... I did a couple of virtual tailgates. And she lives in Delaware County. And you could tell it's just it's completely different there. Completely different than here. Completely different than what they're dealing with in other parts of the state. And you can, you know, in talking and listening to her, I could hear the worry in her voice. Well, that is it. That's different. And we've got to keep that in mind, too, as we move forward. So, again, the Little League World Series, the international component of the Little League World Series is, it's different. And because it is different, I think Steve and the group made exactly the only decision they could make. I mean, nobody's playing right now. Nobody's playing. I mean, it was a big deal that South Korea and Taiwan began playing professional baseball. And by the way, so far, knock on wood, so far without incident. Question will be in this country, which league attempts to go first? Now, I think it's going to be Major League Baseball. We have seen, obviously, to this point, there have been athletes or those associated with sports that have had coronavirus. Sean Payton, the owner of the Knicks, James Dolan, Von Miller, Marcus Smart of the Celtics, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz, Kevin Durant, 3 members of the New Jersey Nets, Christian Todd with the Detroit Pistons. Who else would be in that category? I think there have been some members of the Ottawa Senators, I believe have. 2 unnamed members of the LA Lakers. Am I missing anybody there along the way?
I believe there might have been somebody on the Sixers, too.
Okay. You know what they all have in common? They have 2 things in common. Not one of them was hospitalized, and all of them recovered. they don't fall into the category. Many of them don't fall into the category of having pre-existing conditions, age. I mean, these are for the most part, now Dolan, with all due respect to James Dolan, these are for the most part well-conditioned, finely tuned athletes, which indicates they can get it. Obviously, anybody can get it. But at the same time, none of them were hospitalized. Now, none of them are listed as recovered, but they all have said, yeah, I'm fine, we're good. They've all come out because everybody's, you know, they're pretty public about how they're, you know, how they're doing, how they're feeling, and so forth. I mean, Marcus Smart was like, yeah, I felt fine the entire time. I just, you know, but he tested positive. So I know that there is a huge concern, obviously, about how contagious this is. And, of course, it's been horrific what's happened in New York City, what's happened in Westchester County, New York, what's happened in northern New Jersey, what's happened to a point in southwestern Connecticut. You know, the Boston area has had a little bit of a struggle with it. Chicago has. New Orleans obviously did. Detroit did. And Philadelphia has. But it's all, you know, but let's see. It's also, you know, we don't know how this is going to react. But I think the first one to be back will be Major League Baseball.
As an aside to the Little League announcement, Steve, Mitch Rupert just tweeted the Little League Classic featuring the Red Sox and Orioles also canceled, and the Little League and Major League Baseball, rather, and MLBPA have committed to the Little League Classic returning to Bowman Field in 2021.
Yeah, that's good. It was supposed to be the Orioles and the Red Sox, I believe, this year.
Yep.
All right. So, okay. It is great to have you with us. As everyone knows, I've always been a one-step-at-a-time person. And starting tomorrow with golf courses, marinas, and certain campgrounds opening up, that's the next step. So let's see how it goes. Then May 8th in this state will be the next step. So let's see how that goes. And if those steps open the door to optimism, then we can take additional steps. I talk about that all the time, one step at a time. Well, starting tomorrow is the next step, and hopefully we can be optimistic about how the step is going. All of you have been terrific, by the way.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors is now open online. SunburyMotors.com. You can see their entire Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, and pre-owned inventory. Select the perfect vehicle for you and then purchase it online right from the comfort of your own home. SunburyMotors.com. Very pleased to bring in someone I have great respect for, and that's Brett McMurphy from Stadium. Brett, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks. Hope you're doing well and everyone's safe there. Thank you.
And we care about you as well. The same thing, that you and yours are safe and sound. All right. There's actually a list of things to get to here. Let's start with this. The NCAA Board of Directors recommending not to allow one-time waivers, as earlier suggested by the NCAA Working Group. What went into this, and is this a surprise to people?
I think partly because of the virus and some of the different financial factors that are floating around. I think it was kind of a perfect storm, and there were some commissioners that wanted to pump the brakes on this, if you will. The NCAA Council can still vote on this in May, and obviously determined to allow these one-time waivers, but at least for now, it's been put on hold. So you know, I just think it's, I don't think it's dead yet. Obviously, it doesn't look good, but I think they want more time before making this jump to allow the one-time waivers, which obviously you can, if you're a coach, you don't want them. If you're everybody else on the face of the earth, you probably do want them. But there are some real concerns like roster management, stuff like that. If you have 10 players transfer out, this isn't the NFL. You can't sign 10 new guys. So how do you keep your roster numbers up when you're limited by how many student athletes you can sign each year? And I think because of various reasons like that, ultimately that's why they reached this decision.
Yeah, this is a recommendation, which means what, May 20th when they meet again, they could say, no, we're going to, you know, somebody else will say we can do it, or they can hold off maybe even till next year to do this, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. It's not like it's not like a crime once you've, it's not like you get double jeopardy. Certainly they can go back and look at, revisit it, they can tweak it, they can do a number of things with it. But, you know, to be honest, there's a lot more bigger things going on with college athletics right now. Other than, you know, kids being able to transfer, most notably, are we going to get a football season in? So I think that probably that's what they want to put all of their focus on, at least at the time.
Group of five conferences have talked to the NCAA, or at least put in a request for a waiver on two elements. One is the attendance number that you need to have, and the other one is having 16 sports. I think the 16 sports is the big one. And I guess what the NCAA has told them, no, we're not going to change our mind on the 16. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think an offshoot of that is because of the virus, the financial implications that we've already seen with the no NCAA tournament, with what's going to happen with the upcoming college football season. I think that's going to expedite the split between the Power 5 schools and the Group 5 schools. You know, it's... the Group 5 schools are trying to get these requirements reduced, where I understand why they want to do that. But on the other side, I would say if you're a Penn State, if you're somebody if you're Pitt, if you're in the ACC, if you're in the Big Ten, in theory, why do you have the same limitations that San Jose State or Fresno State have? Because they're also a Division I football program. So because of that, I think ultimately this expedites the split or division or whatever transformation takes place between the Power 5 conference schools and the Group 5 schools. And that's what you brought up is a perfect example. You know, the Group 5 trying to get the attendance numbers lowered and all that. I mean, you don't hear that from the Power 5 schools. So I think because of that, you know, will they merge with the FCS? Will they just have two different divisions within the NCAA? I mean, there's a number of ways this thing could go, but I do think ultimately that's what we end up with. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. It will take a few years, but I think that's where we're headed.
How much does Title IX enter into this for the thought process of the NCAA? I mean, as either something that's realistic or something that's an excuse?
Well, if you're going to cut... they're just saying they want to reduce the number of sports, which is fine in that scenario. You still would have to abide by Title IX. So that's why you're seeing Cincinnati drop their men's soccer program, Old Dominion dropped its wrestling program. You know, you're going to see a lot of men's sports dropped because you can't drop football. That's the thing with Title IX. It's you know, obviously it wants to give equal opportunities to both men and women student athletes. I understand that, but what makes it so tricky is you've got 85 football scholarship student athletes and you don't have an equivalent women's sport. So now you've got to make up those 85 scholarships on the women's side. And so that's why, you know, an AD I talked to recently said he thinks, you know, unfortunately, you know, men's Olympic sports such as soccer, such as wrestling, he thinks they'll be on the extinct list because the people will have to cut sports to save money, and you do have to take Title IX into consideration.
All right, now we get to name, image, and likeness, which is going to be interesting. I think they have until October 31st to null out a better standard of rule. But one of the areas I saw was that it must be quote, fair market value. And the other part I saw that I found interesting is that they will then tell you how much said athlete is making from whatever endorsement deal it is.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what all they end up with. You know, certainly there's a lot of good that came out of this, but then there's still a lot of, you know, you scratch your head. For instance, student athletes cannot, you know, which I see the reason why. I don't know if I agree with it, but I see the reason why they can't do any advertisements wearing, you know, wearing a USC jersey. If you're playing at USC, you can't put on a USC jersey. You can't put on a Texas jersey and do your pitch for Joe's Auto Shop or go on Instagram and you know, promote a certain brand of water, whatever it is. You also can't be a spokesman for athletic shoes. Why is that? Well, because those shoe companies have deals with the colleges, and that would be a conflict. So there's a lot of, you know, the devil is in the details has never been more true in this instance. The good news is they're taking steps so student athletes can have the opportunity to be compensated somewhat. But yeah, there's still a long way to go, and then we always have to wait for the infamous, you know, unintended consequences that pop up when something like this happens.
Exactly. All right, so let's get to another what's going to be an interesting issue. I just talked about, even within this state, one size doesn't fit all. Philadelphia has a different problem with COVID-19 than I am sitting right here outside at 2 miles from Beaver Stadium. We have a county north of us, Elk County, that has two COVID-19 cases, and they've stayed at two for a month. So one size doesn't fit all. But the SEC and the Big Ten have something in common. Each of them are in 11 different states. Conference USA is in 10 different states. ACC and the American Athletic are in 9 different states. How complicated can this be when you have Nebraska, which has one level of COVID-19, and New Jersey has one of the highest levels of it?
That's the most perplexing question that's facing the athletic directors and commissioners right now. And I've reached out to multiple athletic directors from all the 10 FBS conferences and asked them that. And the consensus is they don't know. You know, some of them said, look, we can't let a few boats sink our fleet. Another AD, I said, what if your school is the one that can't play? And he goes, look, I'd hate it, but we have to do what's best for our conference. We have to do what's best for college football. I asked two ADs from the same conference what they would do. One said play on. The other one would say wait till the spring. So that's kind of some of the examples of what they're thinking. And, you know, I'm guessing that if the Power Five leagues, which obviously the Group Five will kind of see what they do and follow their lead, but if the Power Five schools decide, you know what, we're going to play, if 3/4 of our member schools can play per each league, then I'm sure the Group Five would do the same thing. But then I even had a conference official text me last night and said, you know, what if the breakdown, you know, we'll say the what if the breakdown's 8-6, or what if the breakdown's 7-5? What if it's, you know, the majority is only one more school that can play opposed to can't play? You know, that's not like an overwhelming majority. If it's like, you know, if it's the Big Ten, if it's 12-2, that's pretty cut and dried. What if it's 8-6? Right. And then the other factor, which another conference official texted me and said this was a great analogy, is if you're in the SEC, what if the three schools that can't play are Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Missouri? Is your decision not to play the same if it's those three schools or if the three schools are Alabama, Auburn, and LSU? You would hope they're going to have the same response no matter who the schools are, but this conference official told me, look, flat out, you know, it is going to depend a lot on which schools can and can't play. So this is going to be fascinating. There's not a right or wrong answer in any of this, but it's
right.
It's just interesting to see which way these guys are going to go with this, and it's something they're going to have to decide. I know there's a lot of schools that are announcing that they're going to have classes in the fall. They, quote, intend have classes, they plan on having classes. Well, you know, I intend on, you know, being alive next year. There's
right.
no guarantee.
Right.
Not to make light of this, but they're doing this because they want to bolster the numbers for fall enrollment. Numbers are down. Mm-hmm. People are hesitating applying because of the uncertainty. So they want to say, hey, we're going to do this. Well, you know what? The virus will determine when they can go back to school. The virus will determine when it's safe to play college athletics. And so that's kind of the most frustrating thing about this whole thing, is that we don't know specifically on this date when everything's good to go. And you're right. You could have, your perfect example, you could have two different scenarios in the same state where you're trying to figure out, you know, what can these universities do, and then ultimately how much will those state governments and state health officials make a determination on these universities and their ability to have students on campus and or be involved in athletics.
And I know when Brett puts out his tweets and he puts intend, he puts it in quotations. Texas A&M, Texas Tech both intend to reopen this fall. Arizona and Arizona State announced that they plan to open respective on-campus classes in the fall. By the way, for those who may be wondering, Penn State's decision will be on or before June 15th. Okay, so everyone knows that.
I think that's reasonable. I would rather somebody say we're not going to, you know, because look, Arizona and Arizona State came out today. We plan to do it.
Right.
On June 15th, they may come out and say, you know what, we can't do it. So what was the purpose of telling everyone you could do it now? Because you don't know. There's not 100% certainty you can do it now. And I think most people are taking the stance that Penn State is. In that, and that's also with the Power Five commissioners, and are we going to have a college football season? And if so, does it start on time? Is it delayed? I think around mid-June is when you're going to see some conferences and schools come out with some definitive, yes, we definitely are coming back on campus, or no, we cannot. We are going to be delayed, or yes, the season will start, but we've got to move it back to October, November. I would rather, you know, these organizations and schools do what Penn State's doing rather than come out now and say, yeah, we plan to do it. And then a month from now, they're going to come out and say, hey, we're not having classes. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, it seems like 100 years ago, but it was probably just a few weeks ago, he was asked about having football media days. And he said, yeah, he goes, absolutely. We intend to do it. We're planning on doing it right now. But he goes, but this was the day after the basketball tournament was canceled. He goes, but then again, yesterday I intended to be sitting in an arena watching, you know, our SEC basketball tournament. So that's kind of this, everyone's kind of in the same situation.
Well, look, June 15th is 46, 47 days from now. At that point, we'll all have a better handle on where everything is. And there's another thing that we've talked about on this show. You don't have to make a decision until you have to make a decision.
You're right, and there's a lot of people that have that same scenario. And the thing is, I know some people are like, why can't we wait till August 1st to announce if we're going to have classes on campus or if we're going to have a football season? Well, you can't. It would be great if you could wait till the last minute and make a decision. But, you know, for scheduling, you know, reasons, for a number of different complications that people are going to be going through, you know, you've got to say, okay, by mid-June, we've got to make a decision. And if we can't 100% decide that we're going to come back, then we need to say, okay, we're going to have to push it back a little bit. So that's why, you know, we'll see, I think, in the coming weeks which way this thing goes.
Absolute pleasure. Always appreciate your insight, perspective very much. Great respect for you, Brett. Please stay safe.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Steve.
Brett McMurphy from Stadium. Fascinating. But, and again, in case you missed the news, Little League World Series for the first time since 1947 will not be played this year. There's just too many hurdles and complications to get there. And, you know, and Steve Keener and the guys. And, I've met and been around Steve many, many times. A very smart, caring individual. And they made the right move. And then our good friend Mitch Rupert said that they intend to play. Major League Baseball wants to play They will not. The Orioles and Red Sox will not play in Williamsport this year, but they intend to play a game next year, 2021 there. All right, we'll take a break. Sal Palantonio next half hour. John Scott final half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by SunburyMotors.com. Many have texted me. They wanted to know, is that the suit playing the piano? Yes. What are you laughing about? For all you know, he has tremendous musical talent.
I can just see it now, that's all.
Those big fingers. Not exactly tickling the ivory. Today's concert is brought to you by Bullet and China Shop. All right, so great to have you with us on the show. Boy, Brett McMurphy, what a great guest, huh?
Oh, yeah, always.
I got Sal Powell in the next half hour. Then we got John Scott final half hour. I'm looking forward to that. I know that you're excited. May 11th is the next in-person staff meeting.
That's right. Yep. Everybody returns here in the building.
Including the rudder. Some people call him the suit. He calls himself the rudder. Okay, there was a story today about the NBA. It was on CNBC. Now, remember, CNBC has no stake in the NBA. None. But, you know, they're a business outlet. And the story was that there's a real consensus in the league about bagging the season and a lot of players don't want to play. Well, here's a problem. Someone who goes by the moniker of @KingJames, yes, LeBron James, tweeted this. Saw some reports about execs and agents wanting to cancel the season. 3 question marks. That's absolutely not true. Nobody I know saying anything like that. As soon as it's safe, we would like to finish our season. I'm ready and our team is ready. Nobody should be canceling anything. That's LeBron James. I think that, again, so far, South Korea, knock on wood, no incidents. They've restarted. Taiwan has restarted. These are both baseball. Knock on wood, no incidents. Somebody in this country is going to have to at some point. My guess is it's going to be Major League Baseball. And if they do, when there's knock on wood, so far, so good, then I think it opens the door for a lot of other people. Things are gradually getting better, except for the May 11th staff meeting.